Okay, thank you, Dr. Stockwell. And for our final presentation, we have Dr. Alexander Fix. He is an assistant professor of pediatrics at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Dr. Fix had led or participated in multiple studies evaluating electronic health record-based clinical decision support systems, or ALERTs, and he is the co-inventor of the Care Assistant, a piece of software used to deliver clinical decision support for vaccinations. Dr. Fix?
Thank you very much. The talks that we've heard already have really laid the groundwork for this discussion and have been a great coverage of different areas of the field. I'm going to shift gear a little bit and focus specifically on using the electronic health record to improve vaccination rates. Again, the disclosure was previously mentioned that I'm the co-inventor of a Care Assistant, a piece of software that provides decision support and that I will discuss briefly, but I've earned no income and have no patent on the invention. So the objectives today are threefold: to present the EHR as a multifaceted resource for improving adolescent vaccine delivery, to discuss evidence-based practices for using electronic health records to improve outcomes, including adolescent vaccination, and to illustrate how these practices were integrated into an intervention to improve adolescent vaccination rates. In terms of using the EHR to promote vaccination, one of the most important points is to not think of it in just one context. I think sometimes people think of interventions to improve vaccine delivery or for other health purposes, and they think, well, it needs to be in one model or another. But the EHR itself can be a platform to create or inform education or public health campaigns or specific reminders in a variety of different ways. Specific feedback reports generated from the EHR can go to clinicians to help improve their performance. Rosters for patient recall can be generated from the EHR and can be used to drive automated text messages or phone calls, or can go to a person who can sort of fill some of those same roles. Clinical decision support, which is the automated appearance of alerts within the electronic health record, can also be driven by vaccine registries within the electronic health record or that the electronic health record can access. There's the opportunity to use increasingly common patient portals where a family has the chance to log in and see information about their child. And there's the opportunity as well for a reminder or recall educational phone calls. Using the electronic health record for decision support has been an area of considerable research over the past 10 years, and there are a number of rules that have emerged regarding best practices for achieving that goal. Here is a list of the 10 commandments published by Bates in 2003 that really provide a foundation for how you should approach using the electronic health record for clinical decision support. First, the authors highlight that speed is everything. Technically, alerts that appear slowly or that lead the system to freeze turn off people instantly and really undermine any intervention using the system. It's better to anticipate needs and deliver in real time than to respond after the fact. People very often mention, and it's been prioritized in a number of settings and manuscripts, that it's just critically important to fit alerts into workflows so that people are seeing things at the right time and in a way that makes sense to them. Otherwise, it can generate confusion, distract people, and again, turn them off to the intervention. Little things can make a big difference, so making the alerts easy to follow and clear can really keep people engaged in viewing the alert message and responding to it. Physicians in general, and I would say health practitioners more broadly, will resist stopping. So it's important not to make people stop, but to allow them ways to continue with their workflow that just respond to the messages or decision support. It's easier, sort of consistent with that, it's easier to change directions than to stop. The messages should be kept simple. More information should be requested only when needing it. So asking people to complete an elaborate form in order to get a decision support message normally will very much decrease the effectiveness and the use of the system by folks. It's important to monitor impact, get feedback, and respond, and also to manage and update knowledge systems so that as recommendations change, these systems remain up to date. Kawamoto added some additional factors known to be associated with effective clinical decision support. And again, the automatic provision of the alert as part of the workflow is critical. Recommendations, not just assessments. Don't say your child is due for vaccination alone, but if at all possible, say your child is due for vaccination. These are the vaccines that your child should receive, and please call this number in order to get them. Present the alerts at the time and location of decision making so that, again, they're right in the center of it. And computer-based alerts have been shown to be more effective than paper-based. Now I'd like to talk to you about a study that brings together some of these different elements that we've just conducted over the past year or year and a half. And it's called Assessing the Impact of Clinician versus Family-Focused Decision Support on HPV Vaccination for Adolescent Girls. It was funded by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. And the study aim was really to test the relative benefit of clinician versus family-focused decision support to improve HPV vaccination rates for adolescent girls. So often studies have focused on either reminding doctors and improving clinician performance alone, or focusing on families and improving what families do by reminding them and having them contact the health system. But we really took the perspective of a model that engaged both clinicians and families and said, if each one is informed and activated in regards to adolescent vaccination, the effectiveness of the information may be greater than with just clinician or just family-focused interventions alone. We designed a cluster randomized trial of clinician-focused decision support, so we had 22 practices total. Half of them received the clinician intervention and half of them did not. And then within each of the 22 practices, half of the adolescent girls received the family-focused, and their families received the family-focused decision support or none. Our outcomes were vaccination rates among previously unvaccinated girls for each HPV dose, as well as the time to vaccination receipt from eligibility for each HPV vaccine dose. So the clinician-focused intervention had three parts. The first was what's commonly called academic detailing. There were in-person educational sessions on adolescent vaccines, and they were set up prior to the start of the intervention so that alerts were meaningful when they did appear for the clinicians, and also that clinicians understood both facts related to vaccine safety and efficacy, and also effective vaccine messages that they could use when talking to families. The second component was decision support, so that clinicians were aware of eligible patients in their office. The goal was to spark conversation and clinician recommendation of the adolescent vaccines, and in particular HPV. And I should note that while HPV was our primary outcome, we designed the system so that alerts would appear for any vaccine a child was due for, because we didn't want the focus on HPV to lead people to ignore other adolescent vaccines that might be due. The third component was performance feedback. So clinicians were made aware of their own rates and how they compare to the network more broadly and to other clinicians in their office. So the notion was that folks could see how others were doing and they were doing better, that the clinicians themselves could strive to reach those goals in terms of their vaccination. The problem we confronted, and this was something that we communicated to practices in the initial clinician intervention, was low rates and large variability in vaccine receipt across practices. In Dr. Middleman's talk, she highlighted that the HPV vaccine is the one still with the lowest rates of adoption for adolescent girls. This slide is consistent with that and further suggests just that it's not necessarily the individual family itself, but these office-based systems and how practices operate that can make a huge difference. In our network, we had practices that were ranging from having children between 30 and 35% up to date in terms of the first HPV vaccine dose, all the way up to 75% up to date. So some practices had more than twice the proportion of their population vaccinated, a huge difference. And each of these lines, I should say, represents a practice. And in total, these rates reflect rates across more than 10,000 adolescent girls. So these are just some more detailed slides that highlight what the intervention consisted of. So the first was clinician alerts delivered through the EMR at the point of care. And again, consistent with best practices, we really focused on highlighting all of the vaccines that were due, If there were exceptions or situations where a clinician might be confused, for example, a child received the right number of vaccines, but perhaps one too early, we would give messages that indicated the vaccine dose and date that was given too early. Also, if allergies were issues, we highlighted that so that we weren't encouraging vaccination for children who could potentially have allergies. Feedback reports, as mentioned previously, were delivered to clinicians. They were hand-delivered quarterly just because in our own network we found that actually the physical presence of someone delivering the messages can sometimes make them more effective than messages that were sent electronically alone. And the research assistant checked in with the practice at the time of delivery. But you can see here that for a given vaccine, in this case HPV, we showed them rates at well visits and sick visits. In our network, vaccination is much more likely at preventive versus sick visits, even though so many of those missed opportunities that Dr. Middleman discussed occur at sick visits. And here you can see for this individual, they were of adolescents who came in and were due for HPV, only at 22% of well visits were they actually vaccinated at baseline in this particular period across our network. The practice was a little bit better at 31%. And the network as a whole was somewhere in between at 29%. We also had a family-focused intervention. So that consisted of educational calls when vaccines were due, with repeat calls if no appointment was scheduled. Call scripts were created with input from practicing clinicians and health communication experts. We spoke to clinicians and families, and one of the big things was to first motivate vaccine acceptance so that people would understand that this is really recommended and recommended by their doctor, but also not to offend. When we were creating an intervention to yield calls on a huge scale, as Dr. Stockwell mentioned, we wanted to make sure we weren't getting many calls to practices that would be concerns about people who had gotten messages, because we knew then that resistance to the intervention would grow. Calls were delivered by an outside vendor, but based on EMR-generated rosters that were sent electronically. And families, when they received calls, were referred to an educational website that linked to our hospital's vaccine education center. The notion there was that we had heard in many cases that folks would come to visits and say, I don't want to get the vaccine now, I want to learn more. And this allowed people to do research ahead of visits, ask questions when they arrived. Here is an example of the call script, and I just want to highlight that we mentioned that vaccines were recommended by the doctor. And we really highlighted this as part of the full adolescent vaccine platform. So we said getting the full set of adolescent vaccines is an important part of protecting, and it would mention the child's name, health. And then the website would appear, the name of the website, in case folks wanted to pursue that further. This is the website that was recommended by the intervention, and recipients of the messages could come here and click through a whole range of information on adolescent vaccines. The ones that were our primary targets were highlighted at the top. Others were also listed, but information was available on any of them. And results of our intervention showed that for HPV dose 1, we calculated days to 15% complete and the final vaccination rates at the end of a 12-month intervention. Rates improved by 8% and showed adolescent girls receiving the intervention received HPV dose 1 about a half a year sooner than those who didn't. For HPV 2, effects were similar. Again, there was a huge difference in days, about 3.5 months or so, between those getting the intervention, clinician and family, versus none in terms of the time to reach 50% complete. And there was a 12% improvement in vaccination rates. And for HPV 3, rates were up 15% with similar reductions in time. One thing that was noteworthy and reflects perhaps the nature of the patient-doctor relationship was that the most effective intervention and a large part of the combined intervention was really the clinician component, which performed almost as well as both for HPV dose 1. So having clinicians reminded and educated about the vaccines as they speak to families was far more effective than calls out to families giving them information for initiation of the series. Whereas for dose 2 and 3, the family-focused intervention performed better than the clinician-only intervention, indicating that reaching out to families was much more important for series completion. In terms of conclusions of this study, the combination of clinician and family-focused interventions was most effective in improving HPV vaccination rates and timeliness. Clinician-focused intervention most effective for initiation, while family-focused for completion. And focusing on either clinicians or families alone would have been inadequate to meaningfully promote the delivery of the full HPV vaccine series. Overall conclusions regarding using the electronic health record to improve vaccination rates include the following. I would encourage everyone to consider the full range of health IT tools when planning an intervention. Best practices are known. All of us will do better by following them. For clinician alerts, providing clarification, as we did in our study, can be helpful because the first response people will have when they see a message or a reminder for a vaccine that they don't feel is due will be to not believe the system. But if you can coax them through and give them additional information, they can understand why the recommendations are as they are. And engaging clinicians and families with an intervention is also likely in many circumstances to be better than either one alone as we move forward designing interventions to improve vaccination for adolescents. Thank you.